Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning and a warm welcome to this media conference on our third quarter results 2012, the results of which we published just in the last hour. Sitting here with me is Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb, the Chief Financial Officer of DSM and also member of the DSM Managing Board. He will elaborate on the results and then answer your questions. Just as a reminder, the presentation today may contain forward-looking statements as usual, and in that regard, I would like to direct you to our disclaimer about forward-looking statements. That disclaimer is published on our website and usually also in our press releases. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb. Rolf-Dieter, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raymond. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the 2012 third quarter results. Despite the weak economic conditions, I'm pleased to report that DSM has delivered another solid set of results. The results again demonstrate the strength of our strategy, as evidenced by the persistently strong performance of our nutrition business. Our Life Sciences clusters accounted for 76% of third quarter EBITDA, mainly driven by our nutrition cluster. In Material Sciences, in particular at DSM Fiber Intermediates and DSM Engineering Plastics, we continued to face weakness in caprolactam and the polyamide-6 value chain. This offset a good performance in other parts of our materials business. During the third quarter, the weak conditions in the global economy that we saw throughout the previous quarter continued. The Eurozone challenges remained significant, and the slowdown in China persisted. The U.S. continued to grow at a modest rate. Despite these conditions, DSM continued to deliver a solid operational result with a quarter three EBITDA of 270 million euro. Compared to the same quarter last year, EBITDA was 20% lower or 69 million. As we have said earlier, this was largely caused by caprolactam, which had a negative impact of 105 million euro. During the third quarter, EBITDA from nutrition increased to 202 million euro, up 26 million from the same quarter a year earlier, driven by higher margins, favorable exchange rates, and the contribution of Ocean Nutrition Canada. The EBITDA margin in nutrition was 21.4%, which is clearly within our target range of 20%-23%. Our pharma results were adversely affected by uneven delivery patterns at DSM Pharmaceutical Products and lower margins at DSM Sinochem Pharmaceuticals. EBITDA at Performance Materials was below quarter three last year, as lower margins and the polyamide-6 value chain of DSM Engineering Plastics offset the good performance elsewhere in the cluster. Despite ongoing subdued market conditions, DSM Resins delivered improved results due to better margins and the implementation of cost-saving actions. As expected, the results at Polymer Intermediates was clearly below the record levels of the same quarter in the previous year because caprolactam margins remained at low levels. During the third quarter, we continued to make important progress in executing the strategy that we presented 2 years ago. We have successfully completed the acquisition of Ocean Nutrition Canada, the leading global provider of fish oil-based nutritional products. We have entered into a definitive agreement to acquire Tortuga, a privately held Brazilian company that is a leading company in nutritional supplements for beef and dairy cattle. Just 2 weeks ago, we entered into a definitive agreement to buy the cultures and enzymes business from Cargill. The results of Ocean Nutrition Canada and CANSINESH, which started to contribute in the third quarter, were completely in line with our expectations. The EBITDA of our innovation center improved due to higher sales and the acquisition of CANSINESH, which now has been integrated into the biomedical business. Since we set out our current strategic course 2 years ago, we have announced 2.3 billion euro in growth-enhancing acquisitions. Nearly 1.9 billion of that is being spent in the nutrition cluster as we continue to further improve our attractive portfolio in health, nutrition, and materials to deliver value with strong, more stable growth and profitability. Now for the outlook. The outlook for the global economy remains uncertain. DSM's profit improvement program is fully on track and aims to deliver 150 million of benefits by 2014. This program, together with an ongoing focus on cash generation, will help to offset adverse external factors. The acquisitions announced since the end of 2010 will create considerable economic value for DSM whilst increasing the resilience of its earnings. Nutrition continues to demonstrate its resilience with EBITDA expected to be clearly above 2011. Ocean Nutrition Canada will add about 20 million in EBITDA in 2012. business conditions in pharma are likely to remain challenging for the remainder of the year, although DSM continues to expect to deliver a slightly improved EBITDA versus year ago, despite the 50% deconsolidation of the anti-infectives business. DSM continues to seek opportunities to make further strategic progress in this cluster. Full-year EBITDA for performance materials is expected to be slightly below 2011 due to continuing weak market conditions for caprolactam. The adverse market conditions for polyamide intermediates are not expected to improve during Q4, and therefore DSM anticipates EBITDA to be clearly below the exceptional 2011 result. For the Innovation Center, EBITDA is expected to improve compared to last year due to the acquisition of Kenzie Nash, which will add about 10 million EBITDA in 2012. Overall, DSM remains cautious about the economic outlook for the remainder of 2012. DSM's expectations for the year are largely in line with its previous guidance, with the exception of ongoing weakness in caprolactam, which also affects the performance materials cluster. Assuming no further deterioration of the economic conditions and based on its strategy, financial strength, and the profit improvement program, DSM will move towards the 2013 EBITDA target. And now I would like to open the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start a question and answer session now. To be registered for the question and answer queue, please press star 1 at any time. If you are on speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. The first question is from Mr. Bart Koster of Dow Jones. Mr. Koster, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions, in fact. One is knowing that your cost-cutting program is on track. Do you plan any additional cost-cutting, knowing that the results are, not as good as they were last year? And the other one, the other question I have is, do you still foresee acquisitions for the near future? And if so, with which divisions? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. The additional cost-cutting or profit improvement measures, because it's not only cost-cutting in this area, yes, we have said when we announced it in August that this is the program for now, but we are still looking at more possibilities in this area, and when we are ready to announce something in addition, we will do so, which obviously, as you saw in the press release, is not the case today, but we are still looking at more possibilities. On acquisitions, yes, also, basically after we announced the Tortuga acquisition and the much smaller Cargill enzymes and cultures business from Cargill, we had a remaining financial capacity of 900 to 1 million to 1 billion still left, so we could do a few more. We will, however, be careful. I mean, we may do, but it's always difficult to predict, maybe one more of that size. But we will also have to be careful from a pure integration point of view. At some point, we come to the position that we really now have to, I don't want to use the word consolidate, but to deliver what we have promised in all these acquisitions and also be careful with doing much more. But we don't, at the moment, we are still looking at maybe two or three more smaller ones, medium-sized, nothing finalized yet, but we'll see what may come. It's always difficult to predict, as you know.
Thank you. And is that mainly in the nutrition business?
Also difficult to predict. Basically, we are interested to acquire in nutrition, in performance materials, and in the materials business. And it depends on the opportunities which will come. I mean, obviously, in the last 24 months, most of the money has been spent in nutrition, but I cannot really predict that what will happen exactly. It's always difficult to forecast. I mean, we had also, as we know, in the past deals, which we were basically sure we would finalize, and in the last half hour, something went wrong. So we have to be careful. But we are not focused on acquiring nutrition only.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mrs. Maaike Noordhuis of Bloomberg News. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering, could you say a bit more about demand in your engineering plastics and even a bit more about performance materials in your markets? Because obviously you're hurt by caprolactam prices, but what's happening in terms of demand? Could you say something about that.
Okay. Well, demand is I would say normal. I mean, we are in difficult economic conditions, so we are not in a boom period where people really go and rush and everything is growing. And we all know that. We know that from automotive. We for sure know it from building and construction, which is not really recovering yet. So in that environment, demand is kind of normal. It's not substantially growing, but also not further shrinking. The issue with the polyamide 6 value chain and caprolactam is really margin, and that has a lot to do with benzene prices as input cost and caprolactam prices, which are relatively low compared to benzene. And in the PA6 value chain, the prices are oriented towards caprolactam prices largely. So the demand is not what it should be, what we would want to have, but it's also not, we do not see a major destocking or something like that.
And could you split that out geographically? What's happening?
It's basically, I think, following the economy. I mean, in the way that Europe probably is the worst at the moment, the U.S. is slightly growing. The high-growth economies are growing much faster, but also in China, we have seen in the third quarter, the published number, I think, was 7.4% GDP growth, which is clearly lower than the quarters before. The same, by the way, in India. So they are far higher than we are, but they are also slowing down or have been slowing down in the past. And especially for China, we have heard from the Chinese government in the news that they want to basically stop that downtrend in growth rates. And our demand and our business is more or less in line with these developments.
And that same goes for nutrition then? Or
is that nutrition is much less dependent on the economy. Nutrition is a much more stable business. There you see some special effects. If you have economic problems and you get, say, for example, more unemployment, then people tend to, in those countries where dietary supplements are of main use, tend to use less or buy cheaper ones. In the animal feed area, we have the special situation this year with the drought in the U.S. and the high grain prices, which also had a few consequences. But this is short term. This is not a real a real basic issue, and is both not really related strongly to the GDP development.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? analysts, including ABN AMRO, have said that you would definitely create more shareholder value if you would divest your performance materials unit. Is that something you would even consider?
No. This is, I think, this is a very, very special view. We have heard that before. Look at the company. I mean, we are 50% in materials and 50% in nutrition and pharma. That would basically halve the company. I mean, this is not a sustainable future. Secondly, in the combination, we also have a few very nice and interesting pockets of growth for the future. I just remind you on the biomedical materials and on the bio-based products and services, where we go for this bioethanol on a cellulosic basis in the U.S. with our joint venture. I mean, these activities would not be possible with a company which is only focusing on one of the two areas. So I think basically this is not really a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not creating value for the shareholder at the end. We throw away potential value if we did so.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Good, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bart Meyer of AMP. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I had a question on the outlook. You stated it's largely in line with the previous ones, except for the weakness in caprolactam. And I was wondering whether you could give some more details on how this weakness is affecting the total results this year.
Well, we don't give a quantitative outlook, but you see clearly that caprolactam or polymer intermediates as the segment which we report, it's not only caprolactam, but everybody talks about that one because it's the larger of the two products, had a super year 2011, which basically stopped around October, November. And then it went down already end of last year. came down after still a good quarter this year, quarter one, came down in the second quarter to the lowest margins in end of the second quarter, which basically continued throughout the third quarter, and that we also see for the fourth quarter. That is for the polymer intermediates sector the basis. There's only one difference between Q3 and Q4. In Q3 we had for a couple of long time a turnaround, and in Q4 we don't have that. But that's the only difference. And in performance materials, that is related to caprolactam in the area of polyamide 6 products in the engineering plastics. So that is a part of the engineering plastics business group. In that business, caprolactam is a kind of raw material for these polyamide 6 products, and the prices tend to follow the caprolactam prices. So if the caprolactam prices are down, then also the margins in that business are clearly lower. That is the kind of infection of from polymer intermediates to engineering plastics to performance materials, and that is also what caused us to slightly change our outlook.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press star one.
There's
a question of Mr. Andrew Noel of Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Wolf-Dieter.
Good morning.
Just to follow up on what you were saying to Mike earlier on, you know, obviously you were very clear about not divesting the performance materials business, but and from what I understand, caprolactam is obviously quite integral to the rest of your product lines in that area, but you know, as it is a commodity, could you exit just that part of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes and no, we have to see. Basically, what we have said already 2 years ago, and we confirmed that again in the Capital Markets Day end of September this year, that we are looking for possibilities to reduce our exposure in caprolactam to the merchant part of it. So we have about one third of our caprolactam volume is used captively in our engineering plastics business, and 60% to two thirds are on the free merchant market. And that part of the business, we are looking for ways to reduce the exposure. That may not necessarily be a divestment of a part. We all have, for example, already for a long time, a deal with a customer in the U.S. where they basically bought a part of the capacity for their use. And that kind of exposure reduction could also play a role. So we do not talk about divestments necessarily, but different ways of reducing our exposure to the merchant market.
Right. So that could be some sort of agreement where they take over the assets, but you've got a sort of a long-term supply contract in place.
Yeah. We operate the lines, and they own the assets and they own the capacity.
Right. And so you have an agreement like that with the U.S. company, you say already. Which one is that?
That is Shaw, the carpet maker.
Oh, I see. Right. Right. And would you consider you know, a PE type, an arrangement like that with a PE company?
We don't exclude. I mean, we have simply said we are looking for ways. When we have something, we will announce it, of course.
Mm, yeah, okay, sure. And just another one quickly, if I may. Could you talk a little bit about the pharma business? You know, it's again, you sort of say in the statement, you know, you're still looking for, you know, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but an arrangement to, you know, to divest that or... But you know, we have seen a few deals in the pharma side with Anova and Temla and some others. What's the, you know, what continues to be the main hurdle there?
Well, we have said clearly we're looking for partnerships in pharma. Mm. In anti-infectives, you know, we have a partnership with Sinochem, so that is the DSM Sinochem Pharmaceuticals, 50-50. In the custom manufacturing part, we have not yet found the right partner. with the right kind of conditions to really match interests of both parties, and that is part of the issues we have face in these kinds of processes. It takes time. It takes time to find partner. It takes time to discuss how to do it, how to do the governance of this joint venture, who contributes what. Also, valuations play a role. So partnership discussions are not easy and take time. And so we are continuing to work on our strategy in that direction. At the same moment, we are trying to improve the business, and we do so. Of course, we have that, we called it in the past, lumpiness of results on a quarterly basis. But this is the strategy, and we are still pursuing that, but have not yet found the partner.
So Sinochem, there's no sign that Sinochem would be interested in branching out. I mean, do you have a few leads, you know, that you,
we have had discussions. We are also now in discussions, so that is not, but it has to come to a fruitful collaboration at the end. Sinochem, I don't think that it would be interesting for them. That is, for them would be a completely new field, because this is custom manufacturing for large pharma. The other one is where we manufacture our products and sell them to the market.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Schwab, there are no further questions. Please continue.
Okay. Then I thank you for your questions. Let me just summarize again. Solid results in quarter three. Despite the weak economic conditions, the outlook largely unchanged, and further strategic progress with our acquisitions recently. So I thank you again.
Ladies and gentlemen of the media, that wraps up our conference call for the third quarter. Thank you very much for your attention and for your questions. If you have further questions or if you need background information today or any other time, please do feel free to contact me, and you can find the contact details on the DSM website under the media tab. And with that, I now hand the call back to the operators.